Live from the CBS studios in San Francisco, I'm Brian Hackney.
And I'm Andrea Nakano.
Happening in Oakland today, hundreds of volunteers came to the MLK shoreline near the Oakland airport to plant 100 trees along the walkway, updating the scenery and improving the city's air quality while they're at it. And over in Concord, residents were invited to pick up trash at Newhall Park. That event was organized by a group called Friends of Concord Creek. They say it's a good way to teach people the importance of keeping the creek litter-free.
All of the native animals, plants and animals that live in the watershed, and we want to give them a habitat where they can thrive.
That event was just one of 10 Earth Day weekend events happening in Concord alone.
And coming up in our next half hour, exploring Earth Day's origins and the California disaster that sparked the movement. Tonight, we're bringing you back-to-back specials. First at 7 o'clock, the First Alert Weather Team takes a look back at this past winter, another year of wild weather that will leave a lasting impact around the Bay Area. Then at 7:30, a CBS News Climate Watch special. We take a look at the species threatened by a changing planet and how scientists are protecting life on Earth. And on Monday, CBS News Bay Area presents Earth Day, a special look at how Bay Area scientists and everyday people are working together to protect the planet. Our Earth Day streaming special airs on KPIX.com, the free CBS News app, and on Pluto TV.
In news today, San Jose fire crews put out a fire at an abandoned building that caused a nearby nursing home to be evacuated. Happened on East Santa Clara and South 13th Street this morning. Crews put out the flames before it got to nearby buildings. There were residents at a nearby nursing home that were able to return safely, and nobody was hurt. A fire also broke out at a marijuana warehouse in Oakland near an RV park. This is on 40th Avenue and San Leandro Street. Oakland Fire said the blaze broke out at 4:20 this morning and was contained by around 6 a.m. No one has reported any injuries.
And 420 is the unofficial holiday for cannabis users and supporters. In years past, people would pack Hippie Hill in San Francisco's Golden Gate Park to celebrate. This year, organizers couldn't raise enough money to hold a big celebration, but that did not stop hundreds of people from gathering at Hippie Hill for a mini smokeout today. And that's where we find Dahl Lin live. Dahl, how is it going out there?
Yeah, it's going well. The crowd's thinned out quite a bit. Still a few hundred people on Hippie Hill. Even earlier this afternoon, that crowd size was still smaller compared to years past. In years past, this area would be filled with thousands and thousands of people. So it sounds like people got the message this year and stayed away. Peace, love, and a lot of weed on Hippie Hill.
Freedom. Beautiful.
Just one love, everybody.
Young and old, they started showing up early Saturday afternoon. No one really knew what to expect this year since organizers didn't have the money and canceled the yearly celebration.
We like it organic.
That's what a lot of people said. They like the non-structured environment. No fencing, no gates, and no large corporations.
I much prefer the organic feel to the commercialization that's been on the last few years.
Debbie Harms and her friend Shanna LeBlanc visit Hippie Hill on 420 every year from Utah for the last 15 years.
We stumbled upon it one year and we had so much fun. We said, let's do that every year.
They say not having an official event brings them back to how they used to celebrate cannabis. It's more of a community atmosphere.
Everybody seems happy. The drum circle's going. People are dancing. Just people gathering, not regulated, not ruled to death.
But they admit there needs to be a balance.
We don't want it to get too crazy and like shootings, and that's happened. We've seen some fights down here that aren't that good.
Previous 420 festivals drew thousands and thousands of people. There would be live music and dozens of vendors. But without an official event this year, the city partnered with Volo Sports to offer free sporting activities at Robin Williams Meadow. Cannabis lovers are encouraged to take part. Some believe it's a way of crowd control by activating the space.
Pick up soccer, but we've got cornhole here on the west lawn. We've got some bocce in the back corner.
We got some spike ball. So we've got all kinds of fun stuff. So if people want to get on the hill, do their thing, and then come down and hang out with us, we're all for it.
The city assigned officers and medics to keep people safe. Volunteers also hand out free water. And it's not all pot smokers hanging out on Hippie Hill. Some people tell me they don't smoke at all. And then there's this family, three generations, just enjoying a lively day in San Francisco.
We always come here with him anyways, so it's just a normal weekend for us with a little extra, and they're in town from Alaska visiting the grandparents.
No festival, no problem. Debbie and Shanna like how it's turning out, and they'll be back next year.
It's a really nice, good vibe, like the old days.
At last check, no reports of injuries or arrests. And aside from the crowd sizes, I'm told this year from a lot of these participants, they're using a lot more edible cannabis products this time around. So we're not seeing as much smoke. Andrea, I remember years ago, there was so much marijuana smoke, we couldn't see through the other side of the field. But very different this time around. And it seems like it's a lot more manageable as well this time around.
Yeah, it was a good marker, though. You knew that you were at the event if you saw that big smoke above Golden Gate Park. I hope it was easier to park this year, though.
Parking was a challenge because there were just simply a lot of folks, and they blocked off a lot of the intersections around here. But nonetheless, I think a lot of folks took public transit or just Uber.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Daw, for covering the event for us.
Well, today, San Jose hosted their second Touch a Truck event, where kids, and kids at heart, can climb aboard and get behind the wheel of all sorts of vehicles. There were big rigs, fire engine, police cars, a little bit young there to be touching trucks. The event also featured a classic car parade, food, and carnival games, and all proceeds go to Coastal Kids Home Care, Bay Area's only provider for pediatric in-home health and social services.
A piece of Bay Area history is officially being retired today as BART's legacy fleet of trains in commission since 1972 will soon be out of commission for good. Just three of these legacy fleet trains are still running today since BART got a major upgrade in 2016, replacing the original models with modernized updates. But today, the last of the legacy fleet trains will reach their last stop. Some of the cars from the legacy fleet will spend their retirement at a nearby museum. Major pavement repairs in the North Bay this weekend. Westbound 37 is shut down between Vallejo and Sears Point. The road is expected to reopen early Monday morning, and Caltrain crews will return and do the same thing next weekend. That will be followed up with two more weekend shutdowns, but in the eastbound direction. The Golden Gate Ferry has suspended service between Sausalito and San Francisco this weekend. A routine inspection turned up some sort of damage on the Sausalito Pier yesterday. For now, the ferry service is running Golden Gate Transit buses.
A rare Saturday session on Capitol Hill, where the House passed a contentious set of foreign aid bills. In the same week that Israeli bombs killed six children, there could soon be billions more on the way for yet more weapons, both there and for the war in Ukraine.
The final package put House Speaker Mike Johnson at odds with more than half of the House GOP. Christian Benavides breaks it all down.
Long-awaited aid for Ukraine made it past the House by a bipartisan vote as part of a larger foreign aid package.
On this vote, the ayes are 311 and the nays are 112. The bill is passed.
More Democrats than Republicans voted for Ukraine aid. The bills provide more than $26 billion to support Israel, more than $60 billion for Ukraine, and around $8 billion for the Indo-Pacific, including Taiwan.
It's a slap in the face to America.
House Speaker Mike Johnson moved forward with the vote after months of gridlock, faced with opposition from members of his own party over Ukraine aid and funding for the border.
This is a business model the American people do not support. They don't support a business model built on blood and murder and war in foreign countries, while this very government does nothing to secure our border.
The foreign aid package passed despite a small but growing number of conservative hardliners who threatened to try and oust Speaker Johnson. Ultimately, there was no motion made on Saturday.
The House has worked its will.
Johnson said the bills were important to democracy and to ward off Russia.
I've said it very simply. I'll say it once again. It's an old military adage, but we would rather send bullets to the conflict overseas than our own boys, our troops.
The package now heads to the Senate, where it is expected to pass. President Joe Biden urged them to move quickly so he can sign the bill into law.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the Senate should vote on the foreign aid package on Tuesday. Lawmakers also moved one step closer to banning TikTok throughout the U.S. The House bill would put a ban in place if the Chinese company that owns the social media platform doesn't sell it within 9 months. The measure was tied to the larger foreign aid package. TikTok has said they plan to challenge the law in court if it passes. Meanwhile, today, President Biden signed a bill reauthorizing the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, known as FISA. Senate passed the bill last night. It enables the government to collect large amounts of cell phone and internet data on foreign targets, including their interactions with Americans, without a warrant. Supporters say it's a tool to safeguard national security. Critics say it violates Americans' constitutional right to privacy. Tomorrow on Face the Nation, Margaret Brennan has a wrap-up of all the action on Capitol Hill, and there has been a lot of it, and whether the foreign aid bill could cost Speaker Johnson his job. That's at 8:30 a.m. right here on Channel 5.
Guess what, San Franciscans? I have some really exciting news. We have some cute, cuddly, black and white beauties coming to our city.
Mayor London Breed announced during her trip to China on Friday that giant pandas are coming to the San Francisco Zoo. Visitors at the zoo say they are eager to see them up close.
It's super exciting, honestly.
It is exciting. Pandas are cool. We're excited. I think it'll bring more people out here, and the zoo needs some help. I haven't seen a panda ever, if I remember, so it'll be fun. He's excited, too.
Now, pandas have served as something of an unofficial barometer of China-U.S. relations since 1972. That's when Beijing gifted an initial pair of the bears to the Smithsonian National Zoo in D.C. following President Nixon's historic ice-breaking trip to China. Fewer than 2,000 giant pandas remain in the wild. National Park Week kicks off today. That means it is free to get into every national park in the country, even the big sites like Yosemite. There are 429 sites within the national park system, from national battlefields to seaside parks. The event runs from tomorrow through next Sunday, April 28th. There will be special activities, and each day has a theme. And if you want to take advantage, you don't even have to go all the way to Yosemite. Muir Woods and the San Francisco Maritime Historic Park are both participating, and so is Pinnacles National Park in San Benito County. The news continues streaming on CBS News Bay Area.
For now, good night.